Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to GRB Limited Q4 and FY24 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing the star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Today on the call, we have Mr. Harsh Gandhi, JT, Managing Director, Ms. Shilpa Mehta, CFO. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Harsh Gandhi. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, and a very good afternoon to all the participants on the call. Thank you for joining us on GRB Limited's Q4 and FY2024 earnings conference call. As indicated, I have along with me today our company CFO, Ms. Shilpa Mehta, and SGA, our investor relations advisors, on the call. We have uploaded our investor presentation on the stock exchanges and the company website, and I hope each of you have had the opportunity to go through the same. The fiscal year 2024 has been an eventful year for the company. Several company-wide initiatives that we've been working on over the last years seem to have fructified, and the macroeconomic environment in the industry which we are operating in has provided the much-needed tailwinds, and in our view, is setting us up for continued success. I'll briefly highlight the key macro events and internal highlights of the company before providing the outlook for the forthcoming year. After 3 long years of working alongside the Government of India's Committee on Extended Producer Responsibility, comprising policymakers, regulators, which is the Central Pollution Control Board, the tire brand owners, and the tire recyclers, the ETR regime was successfully launched, the portal created, and sales of credits have commenced. It has been an arduous journey which incentivizes recyclers to generate an additional stream of revenue to invest in upgrading supply chain and deployment of new technologies. Your company has partially realized sales of ETR credits against its entitlement for the year 2022-23 and has generated credits on the CPCB monitored portal for the years 2022-23 and 2023-24, and as well for the current financial year. As global brands focus on their ESG credentials and emission scopes, a key expectation that these brand owners have from recyclers is the need for improved visibility across their supply chains and emissions through their processes. GRB has been at the forefront of such initiatives and through the years has worked on improving its metrics. This has resulted in GRB being the first reclaimed rubber manufacturer to be certified for ISCC, which is International Sustainability and Carbon Certification. Its efforts at supply chain and workplace practice improvements have led to an upgrade in its CDP rating, which is the Carbon Disclosure Project, and its engineering plastics and repurposed polyolefin business has been certified for GRS, which is the Global Recycling Standard for traceability in recycling value chains. As GRB set up the repurposed polyolefin business under a wholly owned subsidiary, this company formally started its manufacturing operations in Q4 of FY2024, along with obtaining key customer approvals in the paint and lubricant packaging sector. These stringent product approvals obtained post-extensive process and application testing will go a long way in establishing GRB as a partner of choice in this industry, and as the industry is compelled to use a higher amount of recycled content, this will benefit GRB, establish and continue its success on the non-tire business. Another highlight during the year under review was the successful approval of the engineering plastic product portfolio by a global compounder based out of Europe. As Europe is at the forefront of recycled content use, this approval paves the way for potential use in automotive OE brands and increased dependence on GRB products in that category. As brand owners detail their intent to increase consumption of recycled rubbers, the onus on technology development to allow for increased use rests on the tire recycler. GRP has successfully commissioned a new technology for manufacturing reclaimed rubber. This new technology is based on increased mechanization, provides for improved mechanical properties of the rubber, and in turn allows for increased use in formulations by the tire brands. This technology hopefully will be approved during the current year and provide the much needed growth momentum for the reclaimed rubber business in the coming years. With emerging clarity in the EPR regulation and the resultant incentives for different types of tire recycling technologies, GRP has acquired land adjoining its existing facility in Solapur to set up a crumb rubber plant and venture into downstream recycling over the years. The proposed plant will implement a clean technology devoid of any waste generation. Let me go through the macroeconomic update affecting individual businesses. As far as the rubber business is concerned, the tire industry in both India and key global markets has had a volatile year. The economic slowdown and the inventory reduction across the value chain that has been taken up by the tire companies globally has resulted in an overall demand of replacement tires go down in calendar year 2023. In India, on the other hand, the demand for rubbers has increased by 4% in calendar year 2023, but the reclaimed rubber demand fell by about 4%. In backdrop of this, GRP has been able to grow its market share in India by 3 percentage points in the calendar year 2023 over 2022. Our export volumes have decreased by about 11%, and that is aligned with the subdued global market conditions, which reflected in a 3.5% decline in overall rubber consumption, although the reclaimed rubber exports from India were by and large unchanged. Our share of exports from the country are maintained, while notable improvements in margins have been witnessed thanks to the significant reduction in ocean freight costs over FY 2023 and enabled us to manage these challenges of exports effectively. I'll now go over the non-reclaimed rubber businesses. During the year under review, the price of key polymers, essentially nylon or polyamide, which is a key product category for your company, has been volatile with a deviation of as high as 14%. But despite such volatility in the nylon prices during the year, GRP was able to grow its volumes in the sector by 13%. Now, this increase is quite significant given that the company's operations had not stabilized until the end of Q1 post the fire incident in February 2023 at its engineering plastic plant. As the Government of India focuses on implementing the EPR regulation also in the plastic sector, there the focus is on embedding increased circularity. The recognition that the recycling industry needs much longer time to come up to the standards of recycling required to feed the growing plastic packaging sector of the economy. This has prompted to a delay in implementing the EPR regulation, and the same is likely to be stabilized in the current year. Despite this, brand owners continue to increase usage, and this has led to a Q-on-Q increase in volumes for GRP for this particular business. GRP was also successfully able to introduce a new range of products in its engineering plastic business made from ocean plastics, which is mostly the fishnet waste. The growing focus on cleaning up the oceans has created major opportunities for end products based on such recycled materials, and GRP is confident of this new product development and introduction in the sector as a way to create another pillar of growth for the future. Let me provide you with a quick snapshot on the operational efficiency achievements that the company has witnessed during the year. The volume growth in the reclaimed rubber business was at 6%. However, the growth in volumes in the domestic market was over 21% over the previous financial year. Within the non-reclaimed rubber business, the engineering plastic business experienced a volume growth of 13%. So as the industry is experiencing input cost increases on account of energy, fuel surcharges, the impact of the same has been total 9% in unit costs. However, on account of substitution to green energy sources by way of wind power and solar power, the energy cost at GRP has reduced by 4%. With further savings expected in the full year on account of investments that the company has made in biobricket systems to reduce its fuel consumption. On account of increased wage inflation, minimum wages across most states that we operate in have risen by 9%. Again, on account of steps towards automation and improved manpower efficiency, the overall wage cost increase for GRP has been only a 2% increase versus the 9% minimum wage increases. We have had a further reduction in working capital cycle of about 24 days compared to the previous years, tightening the working capital across all businesses, allowing for improved turns and faster cash realization within the system. While ocean freights tended lower for the first half of the year, increased tensions and escalation of the regional conflict in the Middle East led to an increase in freight costs as a result, lowering margins on the fourth quarter of the financial year. As we continue our quest in helping brand owners embed more circularity in their operations, here's a brief outlook on FY 2025 as we view it based on the current economic reality. As far as the reclaimed rubber side is concerned, we expect continued strength in the order book for most of 2025 based on projections received from key customers. We expect approvals for new products developed during the year, and that's likely to provide a boost for future earnings. We are hoping that the EPR regime will stabilize during the current financial year and will provide long-term positive cash flow to allow for increased investment in building scale to compare with global benchmarks. We will continue to remain focused on tightening working capital as we invest in synergistic businesses, and we are hoping this will bring our overall working capital even lower. Expansion in the crumb rubber capacity will hopefully pave the way for future plans in other end users like pyrolysis, recovered carbon black, TRMB, among others. As far as the non-reclaimed rubber side is concerned, the focus on the compounding industry shall provide opportunities for long-term global partnerships for your company. And the new application development initiatives we have taken on in the composite and the CDF post a successful restart of the relationship with the new partner should sort of reap dividends over the current year. We do believe that the repurposed polyolefin portfolio that has been developed should stabilize in the current year and will contribute significantly to the consolidated financials in the years to come. At this stage, I'd like to hand over the call to Shilpa Mehta to take you through the financial highlights for the quarter as well as for the year gone by. Shilpa, over to you.
Good afternoon, everyone. Let me take you through the consolidated financial highlights for Q4 and FY 24. First, Q4 of FY 24 total income stood at rupees 1,381 million as compared to rupees 967 million in Q4 of FY 23, an increase of 43% on year-on-year basis, and on a sequential basis, it was increased by 26%. Gross profit for this Q4 of FY24 is at rupees 790 million as compared to rupees 494 million of Q4 of FY23, an increase of 60% on year-on-year basis, and sequentially it is by 29% increase. Gross profit adjusted for exceptional items has increased by 22% due to favorable raw material costs and product mix. EBITDA for Q4 FY24 is at rupees 229 million as compared to rupees 70 million in FY23 Q4. This is an increase of 227% on year-on-year basis and sequentially it is increased by 110%. EBITDA margin is at 16.6% in Q4 of FY24. As against 7.2% in Q4 of FY23. And PAT for Q4 FY24 is at rupees 117 million as compared to rupees 28 million in Q4 of FY23. In respect of the fire which had occurred in the preceding financial year in the holding company, the insurance claim on inventory lost has been settled during the year, and the loss of rupees 239.57 lakhs has been recognized as an exceptional item in the above results. In case of property, plant and equipment of the holding company, the same has been reinstated during the year at a cost of rupees 538.26 lakhs and has been added to PPE. The WDV of the PPE that was so destroyed was rupees 350.50 lakhs, was treated as insurance receivable in the preceding year. The company had lodged claim of rupees 996.20 lakhs towards the same, and the final claim in respect of the said reinstatement has not yet been approved by the insurance company. A sum of rupees 250 lakhs has been received on account of as an advance against this claim. The net amount of insurance claim when approved by the insurance company shall be reduced from the gross block of property, plant and equipment. And for FY24, the total income in FY24 is at rupees 4,630 million as compared to rupees 4,605 million in FY23. Revenue from operations grew on back of increased volumes of 7%. Gross profit for FY24 stood at rupees 2,537 million as compared to rupees 2,512 million in FY23. EBITDA for FY24 is rupees 523 million as compared to rupees 343 million in FY23, and EBITDA has increased by 53% driven by the gain from EPR and a 4% reduction in power cost following the switch to wind energy starting from April 2023. EBITDA margins for FY24 is at 11.3%. as compared to 7.4% in FY23. PAT for FY24 is at rupees 226 million as compared to rupees 139 million in FY23, which is up by 62% on year-on-year basis. On the debt side, I am pleased to share that we were able to reduce our working capital days from 98 days to 74 days in FY24. During the year, company has invested in capex rupees 499 million in various capex projects, including biofuel heating system for energy cost saving, technology upgradation in manufacturing process, site upgradation across all locations, firefighting system upgradation, and for purchase of land at Solapur and for the subsidiary. Our debt equity ratio is 0.67 in FY24, and interest coverage ratio has changed from 4.49 to 6.63 in FY24. The debt EBITDA ratio stands at 2.14 compared to 2.91 in FY2023. We are happy to announce that the board has recommended payment of final dividend of rupees 37.50 per equity share, which is 375% on the equity shares of rupees 10 each for the year ended 31st March 2024, which is amounting to rupees 50 million as a symbolic payout on the eve of 50-year celebration. With this, I now would open the floor for question and answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ajay Kumar Surya from Niveshe. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on good set of numbers. So my question is on the EPR side. So based on our capacity of 72,000 tons, so how much are we eligible for EPR credits? I mean, how many credits can we generate in terms of units?
Look, the regulation. If you have any other set of questions, you can go through. Otherwise, we'll.
Yeah, sir. I have more questions on this. So, sir, also. Sir, because if I look at our business mix, some 60% of our revenue is from export market. So are we also eligible for credits even on the exported volume? That's one thing I wanted to know. And sir, more question. Sir, out of the EPR requirement which the tire companies have to fulfill, sir, how much has been currently fulfilled by them based on the targets which were required to be met? Like, have we met like 5-10% of that, or is it still more or less? Any clarification on that? And sir, one last question. Sir, if I look at, if we exclude the 15 crore EPR which we have generated this quarter, our margins look pretty suppressed for this quarter. So sir, is there, going forward, there is a possibility that players might incur losses or even sell the reclaimed rubber on lower margins but generate higher income through selling credits? So how are you seeing that going forward? If you can answer on that.
Okay, so that's a lot of questions, about four of them, and I'll try and answer each of them with the distinct. So number one, as far as the credit generation is concerned, there is a policy document which has a certain number of weightage for the extent of recycling that you do, and it is based on the type of recycling that you do. Each category of recycling, which is reclaimed rubber, crumb rubber, CRMB, RCB, tire pyrolysis oil, each of these carries a different weightage, and as a result, the eligibility of credits varies. There is also a conversion factor which is under the purview of the steering committee of the government, and therefore there is a possibility that that will change. So I'm not able to answer your question in terms of what is the extent that we will, as a company, generate on an annual basis, because this is a number which is not 100% frozen. There are likely changes in the policy when it comes to the weightages, when it comes to the conversion factors, and also the categories of the products within it. As we have indicated, that we have sold part of our EPR credits, and that brings me to the next question, which is the target of the tire company. I can't comment on what it is that they have purchased and what has been sold. I mean, I can only confirm from GRP's point of view, we have, as a company, sold partial credits that we generated for the year 2022-23. So I cannot comment beyond that in terms of how much the tire companies have purchased and how much it is against their requirements, etc., because that is not something that is visible for us to see. We, as a recycler, are only have access to the recycling side of the portal to see the extent of credits generated, and against that, the portal credits that are sold onto the system. As far as your next question on whether exports out of these different product categories, whether they are eligible for EPR, the EPR is very clear. The policy states that you will generate EPR A if you use domestic waste of end-of-life tires, and that is what is eligible. It is not linked to where you sell the output, which is reclaimed rubber in our case. So yes, we will generate EPR credit even for the exports that we undertake. Your last question was regarding the margins of the company without the EPR. As I said, that the margins partially were subdued because of the ocean freight increases in Q4. But apart from that, there was also a one-time write-off on account of loss due to the insurance and all the other provisions and write-offs. So therefore, comparing all of that, yes, the margin was marginally lower than the previous quarter, but was significantly better than the Q4 of FY 23. Hope that answers the next question. Maybe we can move to the next.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the answer. Sir, just one clarification. Sir, have you made any plans to?
Sorry, I'm unable to hear you.
Sir, I wanted to ask that, have we made any tie-up with tire companies, with them approaching us for a particular number of units that they want to tie up with us for meeting their obligation on EPR?
EPR credits will be sold to the tire companies. There's no question of tie-ups. This will be an open market. We have generated EPR credits, so have a lot of other tire recycling companies. And tire companies will buy credits from the tire recycling companies, which is a
Okay, so no such tie-up
of credits over a portal. There's not going to be any tie-ups. The good thing for us is that all the tire companies are our customers because we are selling them reclaimed rubber. So the relationship is robust, and that allows us to conduct the sale of the EPR credit seamlessly with these customers.
Got it, sir. And sir, you said that you sold only partial credits. Sir, can we get to know that how much are we still in line to sell, or how much more can we sell?
As we sell the credits, because all of this is very dynamic, the price of the credits are changing, the number of credits that we will be accruing may change on account of the policy. So I think we will make announcements, or rather we will report our income as and when the EPR credits get realized. Our income from the credits get realized. So I don't think there's any point in reporting the number of credits. It's a number that will keep fluctuating.
But sir, would we have sold like 30%, 40% of the eligible credits?
I can't comment because the prices are dynamic and so are the generation of credits.
Okay, sir. All the best for future.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditi Sawant from ADM. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Sir, I have a couple of questions on the.
Sorry, we can't hear you at all. Hello. I'm sorry. The line is absolutely unclear.
Can you hear me now?
Sorry, cannot hear you.
Hello? Hello?
Ma'am?
Yeah.
Actually, there's a lot of static from your end. Could you use your handset or a mic while speaking?
Yes, sir.
Sorry, can we move to the next caller and bring them back in?
Hello? Can you hear me now?
Ma'am, it's the same. If you could please follow up in the next.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Poladia from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Is my voice clear?
Yes.
Hello?
It's clear.
Hello?
Voice is clear.
Okay. Sir, just on EPR credits, does that play in any of the balance sheet items? Unrealized EPR credits?
No, the accounting principle, we've taken an approach as far as the revenue recognition is concerned. It will be on the sale of credits. There is no balance sheet reflection of the credits.
Okay. And sir, how do we envisage the EPR credits, how many credits we can accrue, or is there any visibility or recurring element into it, or is this like occasional as and when you realize?
The credits will be generated through the portal, and as I indicated before, there is a policy document in place which outlines the process for the generation of credits. We are generating credits for every ton of reclaim that we produce made from waste, which is sourced from domestic end-of-life waste in India.
Okay.
But the portal reflects the number of credits. It does not reflect the value. The value is outside of the portal, negotiated between a customer and a recycler.
So is this negotiation is on one-on-one basis, or is the exchange kind of a platform?
There is no exchange at the moment.
If you can comment on what is the ongoing EPR rate?
I can't comment on what is the ongoing rate. We have a broad sense of what we are selling the credits at, but this is a wide range. I think you should, I can't comment on what are the range of rates. I only know what it is as our rates are. Obviously, these are not matters that can be discussed in open forums. This is similar, akin to asking price of products, which are obviously all range based on customer relationships and the extent and volume of credits that are sold.
Okay. But you will generate credit on each ton of rubber which you are recycling.
Correct.
Is the EPR now applicable in the non-rubber business, or there is a thin timeline to go?
As far as the plastic EPR is concerned, as I outlined in my speech earlier, there has been a delay in the implementation of the regulation. However, as I mentioned even before and is available in public domain, the plastic EPR is not based on sale of credits. The plastic EPR mandates packaging companies to use a certain level of recycled content back in the material. As far as companies that are using plastic packaging is concerned, they have to buy EPR credits, and that is also generated by recyclers. But that market at the moment is going through a volatile phase, and currently the portal is not operational as far as plastic systems.
Okay. That's it from my side. I'll come back if I have any other questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshil Jhaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, sir. Thank you so much for taking my question. Hope I'm audible.
Yes.
Yeah. So just wanted to ask, so now if we can segregate the business into our normal business and EPR business. So the normal business, what kind of growth and margins are we looking at, sir, for the upcoming year?
We don't make comments on percentage growth or any of those. That's number one. But the other part is, EPR is not a separate business. EPR is embedded into the recycling business that we are operating. So we are not considering EPR as a separate business activity at all. EPR is generated for, as I mentioned, what we produce. And currently what we are selling is credits that were generated from our production of 2 years ago. We have credits of 23-23 to sell, apart from the balance credits of 22-23. And we will continue to generate credits. But again, mind you, this is not a separate business. This is an integral part of the recycling operations that we are currently operating. The revenue recognition is different, but this is an integral part of the tire recycling business. It's not a separate business.
Okay, sir. Fair enough, sir. And sir, just wanted to get, so the EPR credits that we'll sell, it will be a very recurring every quarterly thing, or maybe it's end of year thing. Any comment on how is it, or is it just too dynamic? So just like, how is it that we are planning, sir?
I think it's a combination of what are the market prices and so on. So again, it's too early. The regulations been introduced freshly. The sales have commenced only in Q4 of FY24. So some of these questions are honestly a little too nascent. I think we'll be able to give a better response to this by next year when there is more stability in the entire regime.
Oh, okay. Fair enough, sir. And just one more question. So currently in Q4, like, our margins were bewed by our EPR credit, and I understand there were some one-offs that we are seeing due to our insurance loss and freight prices. But so for upcoming FY25, can we go back to our historical margins, or just any, not a maybe a quality, a quantitative answer, but just what would you see as margin outlook going for the business currently, sir?
I mean, if you look at the historic numbers over the last 3 or 4 years, EBITDA margins have been steadily increasing. So the attempt at and efforts are all at improving the margins on a standalone basis. As far as the outlook is concerned, I can only say that as our utilization is improving, we will start seeing impact of that on EBITDA margins going forward as well. So yes, hopefully the trend continues to be positive. I mentioned again, exports has dropped, so therefore its share in our overall portfolio has dropped. Against that, the freight costs have gone up. So some of these are all dynamic factors. There's little predictability in the way these markets are operating. Until last year, we were talking about the lead times coming down, and as a result, customers reducing or thinning down on their inventory. Today, we are talking 12 months later, again, a war-like situation in the Middle East, leading to tensions, leading to, again, volatility in ocean freight pricing as well as availability, and that is again compelling them to hold some material and build inventory. So these are dynamic factors. It's not possible for us to provide projections on the margins as a result of this volatility.
Oh,
but yes, we can only provide a guidance on volumes, and I can only say that the volumes are increasing quarter on quarter on account of the focus that the tire companies have in incorporating more circular materials.
Oh, fair enough, sir. So all the best for the future quarter. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question at this time. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manali Gala from Centra Insight. Please go ahead.
Hello. So congratulations on a good set of numbers. So I just have one question. You mentioned earlier that, you know, your EPR credits are based on per ton of your rubber, reclaimed rubber. So on an, you know, approximate basis, how many EPR credits are generated on per ton basis?
I can give the answer before, but as I said, these are numbers that are dynamic because the policy is undergoing changes. There is a conversion factor as well as a weightage of the type of recycling activity that we undertake, and that determines the extent of credit that we generate. You know, these are ranges for different product categories, and it's tough to give you a single number because reclaimed rubber generates a certain number of credits, crumb rubber generates a certain number of credits, etc., for every ton that it produces. So it's, there's no static answer to this. I honestly recommend that you look through the government guidelines or the policy guidelines because that has clarity on some of the questions that you are asking.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit P., an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and very nice set of numbers. I want to ask, I don't know if it was covered, I joined the call late, but any update on the rights issue? Because the last call you mentioned, it will something will be out by 90 days. So just curious to know what's happening there.
So as far as the rights issue is concerned, we have very recently received the approval from both the exchanges for on the draft letter of offer. However, the rights issue was meant for expansion and the growth capex that we were planning on spending. Now, when the approval for the rights was made, there was ambiguity around the EPR as well as the cash flow generating from this. Now that there is greater clarity on the operational cash flows from the business on account of the better cash flow position, we will take a call at a suitable time when the proceeds would be required. But the approvals are in place. We will take a call as and when needed.
Understood. Fair enough. So I went through the draft letter of offer and I noticed that you mentioned the capital would be required for setting up capacity in crumb rubber. And if I remember in the past, you mentioned that crumb rubber is not exactly a sustainable return generating business. So could you clarify on where we are intending to use the capital for?
So I think crumb rubber again is in some ways the building block to a lot of other downstream opportunities. So our objective is in the first phase to build adequate capacity of crumb rubber, and that crumb rubber capacity then would be subsequently used for a combination of different downstream recycling activities. As I indicated, it opens up the doors to either supply or start looking at on our own manufacturing of a variety of items. I mean, there is the thermoplastic elastomers, there is the composite materials, which we are already producing these two. There is opportunities in other sectors like the pyrolysis, recovered carbon black, etc. So I think at this stage, we are clear that we will make the investment in the additional capacity for crumb rubber and then in future evaluate alternate opportunities in the downstream as and when they you know, become viable. We want to be capacity ready depending on how the opportunities shape up.
Perfect. That was helpful. And on this EPR credit that we, and so what you mentioned about the cash flows being better than we initially thought in EPR, what is the cash conversion cycle there? So, I mean, how soon after we manufacture a recycled material does the credit get generated? And after the negotiated transaction to sell the credit, how soon do we get the cash? So is there a receivable component here?
So, A, the first part of your question is it's almost immediate. It is equivalent to a road tap or a drawback or whatever it is. It's essentially for us to generate the credit immediately after a sale transaction of reclaim has been made. So that's the first part of the question. As far as the cash conversion is concerned, as I said, this is very early days of the EPR regime. I mean, we are not selling on a month-to-month basis or a bill-to-bill basis. There is a lot of backlog of credits that require to be sold and bought by the tire companies. I think some of this stability will emerge only once the backlog of the credits required and to be sold kind of are all encashed. At the moment, there is also a large backlog as far as the portal is concerned in terms of approval of a lot of recyclers. A lot of the credits that are to be generated or have been generated aren't being sold because of certain technical glitches on account of the portal or approvals that the recyclers need to have in place. Again, I'm saying these are all very, very early days. I understand a lot of interest and a lot of questions in this, but I can only say do not speculate. There will be more clarity that will emerge in maybe the next two or three quarters. This would be a request to everybody that is on the line and looking to ask questions on EPR. As I keep saying, there is limited information available. There is very, very early days of this. So I would only say that reserve some of these comments or speculation till at least another two or three quarters from now.
Oh, fair enough, sir. So my last question then is on the capacity utilization on the major segments, including the new one that recycled polyolefins that we started, and the CapEx plan for expansion in any of these segments in the coming financial year.
So as far as capacity utilization is concerned in the engineering plastic business, we continue to keep growing it quarter after quarter. As I said, there's a 13% increase in volume overall. But that is given that Q1 of FY24 was a pretty much write-off because the plant was still not operational. And as far as the reclaimed rubber is concerned, we are slowly getting into the mid to late 80s in terms of utilization of capacity. When it comes to the other businesses, again, we are pushing past the earlier numbers of 40%-50% to getting to a number of more than 65% of utilization. As far as this leading to the growth cycle, I would say in reclaimed rubber, I've already indicated that we've invested in new capacity, I mean, new technology, and that those approvals will possibly lead to expansion in that area. As far as engineering plastics is concerned, we will take up expansion or capacity expansion plans only once we hit the 80+% utilization. So hopefully by end of this financial year, if all goes well, we will probably be back on the drawing board for the next round of capacity expansions.
For recycled polyolefins, we don't need any capacity right now, is it?
No, it's early days. We've added capacity, which will hopefully take us through most of the current financial year. So definitely no new investments in this financial year.
Understood. And that high value-added recycled rubber that you talked about, we spoke about in the last couple of years as well. So what proportion of recycled rubber capacity is that right now?
Currently, we've just set up a single line, which will probably be to the extent of about 5%-7%. And assuming approvals come through, this percentage will start moving up.
Understood. Thank you. That's it from me. It was very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Ajay Kumar Surya from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the follow-up. Sir, can you provide me the capacity which you are going to put up in crumb rubber, like how many tons? And how much CapEx are we going to incur for the same?
I think this is also going to come across two phases. The capacity will come in two phases. I believe the capacity as put out in there, I think it's one second, just give me a second. I think the total project cost envisaged is closer to about 35-40 crores over and above the land acquisition that's been made. As far as the capacity is concerned, as I said, it's happening in two phases, so I don't have the exact numbers, but I think you'll pick it up in the MDA once it is done. But approximately, it will be 1,000 tons in each phase.
1,000 tons per month?
30,000 tons in each phase.
Okay, sorry. Sir, also based on this, sir, you also mentioned about recovered carbon black. And if I look at the portal which sees the weightage and conversion factor, so I guess recovered carbon black has the highest weightage and conversion factor. So, sir, does it require any new technology or are we sufficient in our experience to manufacture that? So what are the plans going forward for recovered carbon black?
No, so I indicated that our capacity expansion program in Crumb Rubber will allow us the opportunity to explore some of these downstream areas. I did not indicate that we are investing in this. This is an area that we are looking at closely. There is a lot of technologies as far as recovered carbon black is concerned available across the world. We are evaluating the technologies and depending on the right fit from an investment as well as from a environmental compliance point of view, we will take a call or a decision. At this stage, no decision has been made in the type of technology or whether or not we will invest in the recovered carbon black facility.
Got it. And sir, last question again, sir, on the EPR. Sir, if I look at the overall capacity of recyclers like across Crumb Rubber or Reclaim Rubber or any other end product which the recyclers make, sir, is the current industry capacity sufficient to meet all the EPR obligations of tire companies, or will there be a sufficient demand supply gap which will allow us maybe better realization on carbon credit on EPR credit? So just your thoughts on that, like what is the current demand supply scenario which will be?
So I'll be honest, I mean, we have our own estimation of how much is the capacity of different categories of products, but I mean, those are all estimations. I'm pretty sure that the Central Pollution Control Board has adequate data on the basis of which they have taken a call on the weightages as well as the conversion factors of the different categories. So honestly, I mean, in my view, if there is a gap either in the demand or in the supply, the lever that the steering committee of the EPR committee has is to adjust the weightages and or the conversion factors. So I think the government is very clear that they will not allow either of the brand owner or the recycler to make gains which are disproportionate to the industry size. And therefore, that will get controlled through the deployment of the levers of conversion factor and weightages. So that's how I can respond to it. Again, as I said, of the capacity, how much is actually being produced and where it is going, there is not adequate visibility that we have. We have absolutely a fairly good idea as far as the reclaimed rubber sector is concerned, but we do not have the same level of visibility when it comes to pyrolysis, recovered carbon black, etc. So I'm not able to comment on at an industry level, but as I said, the government has the right levers and it will use it as and when there is a gap in demand and supply.
Got it, sir. Sir, if I can squeeze in one more question.
Can we come back to you? I think I appreciate the level of questions, but I would like to offer opportunity to others to question as well.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritesh Valadia from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks again. This new technology on the rubber. So,
I can't hear you clearly.
The question is on new technology for reclaimed rubber. So, you said that approval is pending. So, is it this number of who need any ready approval?
But I cannot hear you at all. I think you're breaking up. Line is not clear.
Is this?
I'm sorry, it's still not clear.
I'll come back again then.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mithun from MJ Investment. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Hi. Am I audible?
Yes.
Congrats on a great set of numbers. Apologies for coming back to the EPR again. But I think there is still clarity is required. So can you please tell me what is the current conversion factor? I mean, you have realized 15 crores in the last quarter. So what would be the conversion factor for that? I was going through the policy documents. So I think in reclaimed rubber we have a 1.3 weightage, but the conversion factor is decided by the Pollution Control Board. So what would be the conversion factor that we have received?
At the moment, as far as tires is concerned, the conversion factor for all tire recycling is fixed, I think, at 0.78. As far as the weightages are concerned, what you have is in the policy document. And that's currently where it is. But these are, as I said, keeps changing. Therefore, very tough to provide a number.
Sure, sure. Okay. One more question that I wanted to ask. Do you think this is kind of the inflection point for GRP as a company? Because last quarter seems to be complete off the hook. We have leapfrogged on our numbers and our performance. And like you alluded to initially in your initial discussion about EPR is going to come in the non-reclaimed rubber segment as well, in the engineering plastic segment as well. And as well as you are also looking at many opportunities in crump rubber and other diverse segments as well. So where do you envisage GRP would be in the next maybe 3 to 5 years, a slightly longer term vision about the company, please?
So I think I'll break it up into two parts. One is, I think this is a great incentive for the entire recycling industry, but I think it is also an opportunity for the brand owners to partner with the recycling companies across the spectrum. By the way, EPR is not just in plastics and tires. It is in 11 sectors of the economy, and there's separate documents on each of these policies. So I think the entire recycling industry in the country will benefit from the initiatives around the extended producer responsibility. As a company or as GRP is concerned, our strength currently has been in the tire recycling business, and we will explore ways and opportunities to build a scale in that side. Apart from that, wherever we see synergies on the supply chain and waste collection areas, we will take baby steps to sort of experiment, build capacities, validate our technology claims, and then obviously also go deep into building scale in those sectors. So again, I don't want to give an answer as to where GRP is likely to be, because we are exploring opportunities across the entire waste spectrum. As I said, there's 11 sectors in the economy which have opened up under the EPR for waste. And we will explore opportunities based on what the appetite is, what the cash flow is, and what each opportunity brings in terms of synergies. So I don't want to kind of preempt, because as I kept mentioning, this is new, this is nascent. We cannot take risks without knowing how stable this is going to be. But we will also carefully explore different sectors and create our roadmap for the future.
Thank you. That's all from my side, and all the best for your future journey, sir.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that was the last question for today's conference call. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Harsh Gandhi for closing comments.
Thank you again all for, as I keep saying, I learn a lot about our own business by the questions that each of you asks. So today was no different. I've learned a lot about the perception that each of you have about our industry. And indirectly, I've also hinted and indicated the kind of opportunity that exists for us in this industry. We will continue to sort of keep our heads down, continue to focus on building capabilities in this space and leveraging them to explore new opportunities for the future. These set of numbers that we have demonstrated in this quarter, some of you have asked whether we'll be repeating, not repeating, etc. I don't have an answer to that. But we have been over the last few years painstakingly working at ensuring that this ecosystem of waste collection, technology development, and global scale by way of partnerships with large brands, we are able to leverage in different businesses that we get into. So all I would request is each of you wish us luck so that we can fulfill that and deliver or continue to deliver on the set of numbers that we have done in the last quarter. Thank you so much for participating on the call, and until the next time. Thank you.
On behalf of GRP Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.